Hello everyone, welcome to the 5th episode of Finding Turiya. I am Anirudh here and my friend Ramana Krishnan with me. Hi Ramana.
Hey Anirudh.
Today's session will be a bit different. I think that one fundamental concept which should be understood about astrology is it can be used as a practice of sadhana. I've spoken a lot about the psychological reality of the planets and grahas, but I think it should be seen in a broader sense when it comes to the topic of sadhana or a certain way of living and how Vedic astrology can help us guide us to the way of living. And so this particular episode will be a personal journey along with Ramana, and I will be talking a lot about what were the factors that influenced me? Why did I get into this? What have been the outcomes? I will talk a little about some of the crises as it faced and how astrology has gotten me out of it. And how that crisis in itself has helped. Astrology is one of the main modes of sadhana along with philosophy. And I will talk a bit about my journey through astrology and philosophy and all. And so that would be the broad contour of this particular episode. Hi, Ramana.
Hey, Ramana. So, yeah, let's get started on a different kind of an episode today then.
Yeah. So, as I must have mentioned in the earlier episodes, I am Calcutta alumnus and a BITS Pilani alumnus, both good colleges in India. During my MBA at IIM Calcutta, that's when I started getting slowly involved into astrology. I was fascinated because it claimed to know a truth of how events could be predicted, and I was trying to understand the truth in some sense. And as I read slower, the psychological implications of the grahas became obvious to me. And that is something which I had been refining, and along with my friends like Ramana here at IIM Calcutta, I gradually refined these models and gone on. This has been a very personal journey for me because the first unit of analysis has been my own horoscope, what were the factors which affected me, and then that awareness in turn helped me to diagnose others and understand others. Diagnose is one way if you come with a problem, but understanding is something which we would like to do. It broadens us. And we come to the whole picture why self-awareness is so important for us, right? Self-awareness is what gives us clarity and awareness, and it guides us through our day-to-day decisions. We are able to tap onto a sense of calm while we are doing this. And so that's why I think self-awareness is important. So as I mentioned...
So Anirudh, you started out with an interest from prediction, but you got hooked onto it from a perspective of analysis of traits and self-analysis from a personality traits point of view, and by extension, analyzing the traits underlying other people's behaviors as indicated by the horoscopes. Correct?
Yeah, true.
Right. Yeah. Please go on.
Okay. The next journey was I joined initially in a sales and marketing company. I was there. I was looking for something more to widen my horizons of knowledge. And I thought I would do a PhD. So I quit my sales job. I was working in academic department at Great Lakes Institute of Management. And there I was introduced to Sri Aurobindo's work, and that gave me the philosophy to go with the astrology. I would highly recommend anybody's astrology, Sri Aurobindo's philosophy. Let's have a look at it for philosophy itself per se, right? In India, this is from a very Indian context, is philosophy gives you the basis on which you base your astrology, right? If you were to take a fatalistic, deterministic view of the cosmos, then you would look to astrology for prediction. But if you look at various schools, particularly Sri Aurobindo, since I've gone a lot into his school, he talks of it as different lines of power or force lines which circulate around the world. He's talking of the grahas and as terms of energy lines which circulate across the world, people. He talks about different planes of consciousness like the overmind, supramental plane, all of it speak of every individual being different and having their own line of power and their own formation in this creation of the world. It's a very profoundly life-affirming philosophy which helps guides me in my astrology as well. So I believe I'm taking it from a less fatalistic view. If you notice, a lot of people are scared of Saturn. I mean, typically astrology talks a lot of being afraid of Saturn because Saturn is like the graha which is supposed to put in obstacles on the way, cause delays, etc.
Saturn is the Shani in Hindi.
Yeah, correct? Shani in Hindi, correct. And well, Sri Aurobindo is all about integrating yoga. Now, what does it mean to be integral? What does it mean to be an integrated person? What does it mean to be a person? See, we all feel we are integrated with our mind, body, and energy, right? Though we are not aware of a physiological process. At a very basic level, there is something which seems like, oh my, I am an Anirudh, for example, or I am a Ramana. There's something which is called as the ego at a very superficial level, which is saying that, hey, I am this thing. Okay. We call it in Sanskrit, the ahamkara. Okay. And now we go further. Is that this real integrating device within us? What is that which integrates us? Sri Aurobindo's philosophy says that this is a form. Okay, we have to go a little deeper into some terms called Purusha and Prakriti. Okay, so Prakriti is considered like this mechanical notion of nature, which acts, whereas the deterministic, fatalistic law of nature acts out. While Purusha is the observing, aware entity, which is in connect with this Prakriti. Okay, so what Sri Aurobindo says is that this ego and all is a formation of the Prakriti. It is a very, mechanical formation in itself. If we go by our ego, we are doing something which is fundamentally very mechanical. Okay, we then look at what does it mean to be integrated then? Are we only our mind, body, and energy? Are we anything more? We talk of intellect, right? Okay, yes, intellect also is something which is important. Are we anything more than the intellect? What does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to be connected with God? Okay, of course, presuming you believe in God, but yes, what is our relationship between man and God? So these are questions which a philosophy draws on from, right? And these profoundly influence the way you look at astrology. So if you're looking at every individual capable of connecting to the highest principle within, capable of being aware of their situation, capable of being in harmony with nature and within themselves, that is a philosophy which provides the basis for the astrology that I believe in. Okay. And that astrology is why I look at it as self-awareness. Again, to mention the word, it's self-awareness because by being aware, we can be in harmony. And our outer circumstance is just that. It is just a circumstance, right? In more conventional schools of, say, even philosophy, we have this whole notion that a karmic entity, even karma, can be brought down. It's not fatalistic. For example, a good example given is, if suppose your karma was that you would break a leg, by the grace of a guru, in a more conventional sense, or by the grace of your own fall, virtue of dharma, it could just be limited to a pinprick. Okay. So karma is not fatalistic. It is just an energy acting out. Okay. And as you go beyond the mechanical workings of your consciousness, you bring in different, karma's effects on you reduce. Another analogy which is given is, everybody has to carry a log when they go in life. You could view the log as your past karmas or actions or tendencies you carry with you. But if the same log, you're carrying it with the support, if you're carrying it in a river, with a river supporting its flow, the weight becomes lighter, right? Some of them believe that, you know, praying to God, all the yoga paths like Bhakti Marg, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Jnana Yoga are all considered to be different yogas which can reduce the weight of our karmas, or if you want a more neutral word, our psychological tendencies. Now, the same intensity with which we feel our various emotions, the intensity need not be the same. Okay, they can be increased, they can be reduced, it is open. It's a wide open dynamic world, and that's what the crux of philosophy and astrology is, that this is a wide open dynamic world. Okay. These were all thoughts which I had received. I did a course called Indian Psycho by conducted by the Indian Psychology Institute. They're still conducting these courses. I would definitely recommend anybody to take up these courses. And Sri Aurobindo's philosophy, gave the foundation. I mean, he goes very well in detail into the different planes of consciousness. He is somebody who calls on... See, we conventional Hinduism, at least, is fairly fatalistic, right? In terms of how people believe it. Like, you do this ritual, things will get cured. And it is very dependent on forces outside of you. Now, the force of self-awareness, right? Okay, if it is there... By being ourselves, we can change our destiny, okay? By being truly aware of ourselves, okay? Now, what is self-awareness? Ramana, just to understand, what do you think is your perspective of self-awareness? What do you think is your view on what has been spoken so far? I agree, you might not believe in karma, but you might have some thoughts on you and different practices. So, I would love your thoughts to come out.
Right. So, I haven't read Sri Aurobindo's works, right? So, with that disclaimer, and B, I traditionally come from a far more atheistic and a non-believer point of view with a lot of things. But that being said, I understand the point underlying that what you're saying in terms of the analogy that you're making about how, say, a bhakti yoga or a jnana yoga or karma yoga is, in some sense, equivalent to... that log in a river where the load on your mind is eased out while you are going about your daily activities and so on and so forth. In the journey of life and so on, the load is reduced. Some kind of a mental load or whatever. That being said, my understanding or my perspective on self-awareness is that I think that it's a generally a necessary thing, or at least a thing that people should actively seek out. And I mean, basically, knowledge about themselves is something that they should actively seek out. And for a lot of people, I've observed that to be a path to, I mean, even non-religious people, for it to be a path to spirituality of some sort, some conceptual spirituality, which in itself I think is a reasonable thing for them to go on the path of. But specifically, self-awareness, I see that as something that generally helps me be better with my day-to-day interactions, day-to-day dealings with other people. It helps me understand my strengths, weaknesses, or my, say, irritations, or say, things where my emotions would typically overpower me. It helps me understand those aspects far better. And even if one is to not be interested in a spiritual journey or anything like that, it purely, I think, helps one lead a better, more productive, maybe productive is the wrong word, but in some sense, a better life with better interpersonal relations with others and so on.
I agree, Ramana. I mean, yes, I do think, yes, definitely karma is a concept which requires you to believe in it. We haven't quite come yet in science to the notion of what are mental tendencies apart from the current explanation would be their chemical interactions in the brain. A bottom-up model, if you will, like showing that, you know, we are essentially a collection of chemicals interacting with each other.
Right.
Okay, fair. I mean, that is the current scientific discourse as it stands now, right now.
So, I'm not a complete believer in that either. I mean, like, I just don't have an answer beyond that. I mean, fair. I understand the bottom-up building blocks leading to human sort of a worldview that typically is associated with science.
Right, right.
And the counterview is that, like, what is consciousness, what is soul, things like that, are that X factor, so to say.
Okay. So that's what, you're
so
right.
I don't have a particular view on that, whether it, I mean, I don't have a view that it doesn't exist for sure. I'm agnostic that way.
Well, your challenges and your interactions are more like day-to-day interactions with people around me. How can I be a better person?
So that is one outcome-oriented view towards it.
Okay.
That is not in and of itself a necessary or a sufficient thing for me. Just understanding about myself is a fascinating thing for me. Just understanding my own behavior in of itself is an interest. I mean, I find myself to be quite interesting.
So
the knowledge of self serves in that purpose. It need not be for betterment of XYZ. It need not be from an outcome point of view.
Okay, fair. The knowledge, the depth, increasing depth within yourself, the wonderment, a sense of wonderment within yourself, right?
Okay.
So definitely, I think the sense of wonderment and what some would call even a scientific or an exploratory tempers, these are all tempers which should be encouraged. And in some sense, it's good we are living in a very dynamic age where these tempers have been encouraged. I think even yogis would all, I mean, yogis generally going to the traditional path. I think we, when we are looking at Indian traditions as a past itself, right, we should see that there were traditions in which people would test all of their hypotheses. Okay, test it, verify it within your experience and go on. But yes, this was very limited and mostly to the Jnana Marga. I mean, we are talking about, it was fairly limited. I mean, considering the spread of education or the spread of knowledge, etc., across the population, it wasn't as much. But now I think there are a lot more avenues, a lot more diversity. I'm generally positive that we have a lot of scope. I mean, quoting Sri Aurobindo, all life is yoga. Okay, that's his view. And he says it in the sense of anything can be used. See, this is a very specific tantric way of tantric. Yes, the word tantric has several connotations. But here I'm using it purely as a school of thought in Indian philosophy. Okay, here I'm saying that if you consider Sri Aurobindo's as involving some elements of the tantric school, he says that anything in the consciousness outside you or inside you can be used for self-awareness or for attaining a certain spiritual awareness about it. Ramana, yes, fair enough. You're also looking for self-awareness. You just don't want to be bound by a god, I guess. Okay, so for me, I'm more like, I think the self-awareness can lead me to the state where, you know, the ultimate state is a universal knowledge of things or a universal connect with all things. Okay, that is considered to be the ideal state where you see everybody. Again, I think this is pretty personal in that sense of the ultimate state is something where you're able to see the Godhead within all people. Okay. Where you're able to see God in all people. I mean, that's why I find in particular Sri Aurobindo's philosophy very appealing. Is, for example, his mother, his co-teacher, okay, guru, who was also a guru along with Sri Aurobindo, she says that according to an old yogi, she says that everything is just something which is, anything wrong or distorted is just something not in its right place, or even evil is just something which is not in the right place, that's all. Okay, it's a very neutral way of viewing at things. It's a way by which you can say that even evil can be mended. Of course, we have the fierce goddesses, or we have this element where we have to strike against something which goes wrong. But we also have this view that in a spiritual journey, people can change. Where philosophy and astrology give me is people can change by virtue of self-awareness. At an abstract level, these are the questions which motivate me towards astrology and philosophy, and yes, towards self-awareness, because it helps people change on their own. Okay, and it helps us to understand our own, like you mentioned, you understood your own strengths and weaknesses and the ability to modify it. The awareness is giving you the ability to modify your behaviors, right? Not to get as emotional. Of course, you also mentioned the curiosity part, but in an interactional sense, you mentioned that it gives you the ability to modify your behavior. Okay. And coming back to the journey bit, I did read up a lot on Sri Aurobindo's philosophy. Something which not too many people, I mean, my close friends do know, was I had a bout of schizophrenia soon after, a year or so after I'd done the course. I think a couple of years after I'd done the course. And that was a very difficult time, but it's given me a lot of insights into how therapy is conducted, how psychological issues are looked at. And now, yeah, I do take medication still. It's not too much, but I do take medication still. It has definitely given me a better idea of how mental illnesses work. And relating this to astrology has been one of the more interesting thoughts which occurred to me. That's been one of the future uses I wish, I think, psychological therapy can be used for, is to try and see, understand mental illnesses in different people. Broadly, Ramana, I mean, something which had come across in my experience of studying was that a lot of chemicals are used to either excite or inhibit neuron behavior within the brain cells, so that the mind is able to come to rest and maintains its regular rhythms. It's when the arrhythmic patterns of neurons firing go haywire that it causes these mental symptoms like schizophrenia, etc. So that's why medication typically tends to try to reduce the mental activity. Of course, this is based on case by case, chemical by chemical, etc. Okay. So definitely, for example, this is a concept which could be linked to Rahu Ketu. Okay. Little tricky and somewhat unconventional interpretation is that the moon is the manas, right? We've spoken about the manas in the previous session about psychological significance of the planets. Okay. We've not yet covered Rahu Ketu, but briefly I would say is Rahu Ketu is Rahu's the exciter, one who creates that energy and whiplash is completely spreading interactions all around you. So that would be a Rahuvian state where you're at it's like a burst of a cracker, right? And those are the experiences you have. Ketu is more of detachment, where you feel if a Ketu is too subdued, it could even go into complete loss of meaning, complete loss of life, energy, etc. Okay, so people can, in schizophrenia, one of the symptoms can be become completely apathetic to everything. That's why mental illnesses should be taken up on a case-to-case level. This is something I would like to work on. So, yeah, that has been there. And definitely, having schizophrenia, having analyzed some friends who've had schizophrenia, and one family who's, one of my friends was able to give me some details of their family's schizophrenia history. So all of that helped me to see some patterns. I would love to test this and go further and see if this there can be some view to understanding what sort of mental illnesses can happen. And traditional astrology does talk about it. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of scope for development. Okay. And Ramana, anything you were to add me? I mean, you've seen me through the difficult times. And hopefully, yeah, I don't know if that's, I think it's been a value-added experience for me. For that.
Right. So how would you, I mean, how do you think that, would you want to talk about some of your experience in terms of how you've been able to, in some way, overcome it? I understand that it's still not, like, basically, you still deal with it, but would you want to talk about
it? Now it's not much. I mean, honestly, it's not much. I've come to peace with it. I mean, okay, yeah. Slightly, we are going into content of future episodes, is what I'll say. During this time, right, I've come to peace with the fact of losing a job, etc., etc. I spoke of sadhana in the beginning of the episode, right? So there is sadhana in terms of praying to the goddesses, praying to Krishna or something like that, which has helped me understanding the different... Ramana, I don't think you've come across the Das Mahavidya concept, right? I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
Different forms of Kali.
No, I haven't.
Okay. So there's this concept of 10 forms of Kali, and each form of Kali representing a certain Shakti. So praying to the different forms of Kali, understanding that, understanding the spiritual journey of myself and of others. See, it's only in difficult times you think of God and spirituality a lot more, right? Okay. You look for meaning in things, okay, when you're really challenged to draw on. And I think schizophrenia gave me the challenge. It's given me awareness into how mental illnesses are perceived and how they work, etc. So it's been a great learning experience. Medication, I do still think I would have to take it for the rest of my life, I guess, some basic medication. But as of now, I think mentally at least there seems to be no diminishing of my powers per se, I mean mental thought processes per se. So I'm at peace with it actually. I'm fairly at peace with it.
I mean, I can definitely attest to your analytical skills being as sharp as ever.
Oh, thanks. And finally, I think everybody's got a path. I would love to, for those who are listening and those who might want to contact me for any sessions or psychological sessions, astrology can help. I work from the plane, I think something I'm harping on all episodes, I've been working from the plane of self-awareness. Sadhanas help, mantras can help. See, there are many, conventional astrology would talk of ritual, it would talk of gems. I think these are more conventional, but they can have an effect. I think it is all about knowing which path you lie in, right? What type of energies you have. And definitely, I do not think conventional astrology also has its way, role to play in the world, specifically in terms of some of the remedies it gives. Okay, see, for example, I think Ramana, I have to talk a bit of the difficult time is, as long as I was in the difficult phase, right? I couldn't do anything. I couldn't analyze beyond a point. I mean, and no fresh insights were coming in. Nothing. Zero new insights at all. Okay. But prayer helped. I did go to an astrologer. So some amount of ritual helped. Okay. It did help me. So I'm not discarding these things. Their interpretation seems a little old-fashioned to me because these rules were famed in what some of those earlier astrological works are dated at least at 500 AD, okay, which is like very old, okay, and maybe the way the interpret the combinations might be a little old-fashioned, okay, but I think there is truth in it. I'm not analyzed it. I look at it from a psychological point of view. Maybe the rituals have helped, Ramana, because I think my mind has been able to get fresher insights after I practice the ritual, after prayer, etc. So I think definitely prayer, ritual do form a part of my spiritual journey per se. And I'm grateful for that. See, as an agnostic, do you think there is a room for meditation or something like that? Just to get your view on things also.
So I'll get to that. But before that, one other thing that I want to mention is that, so you talked about the other method, the old school method, so to say, which has helped you, right? What I would, in this context, what I would want to add is, so you and I, the discussions that we've had is basically your technique that, that you rely on for others, for analysis of others, right?
Which
is something that I found extremely, so most of these sessions have been, since you've become far better in terms of your mental health, etc. So most of these sessions that we've had, they have been incredibly insightful in trying to dig deeper into me, asking certain questions. I'll even say certain kind of specific leading questions that have led me to introspection in ways that I did not think about and has led me to answers jointly with you. I mean, some of it would be through my introspection, some of it would be through your guidance while introspecting, that I found it to be really helpful purely from an understanding of the self point of view. And the sessions that we've had, I tend to look, or used to, or I mean, I still do tend to look at them in some sense as the different kind of, say, personality tests that that we tend to take every once in a while, those MBTI kind of tests and things like that, except your analysis is far, far deeper and more specific than any of those MBTI type tests. That was something that I wanted to add in the context of, since you were talking of the other path, I thought I should mention about your path as well. And coming to your question about, as an atheist and an agnostic, I consider myself to be both, not just agnostic. So what do I think about meditation? I've tried meditation. I've just not been that persistent with it. I've not been able to keep regularly do it for long, as in for many days together. The longest stretch might have been about 45 days that I had done on a daily basis. But yeah, that's about a year ago, maybe. That being said, I definitely find that fascinating and not at all at odds with either atheism or agnosticism in general. I don't see them as at odds with each other. Because the way I see it, others can view it differently, but the way I see it, meditation is just the act of, in some sense, calming your brain down, calming your mind down. And yeah, in some sense, relaxing, and in some sense, basically, not letting your mind run randomly as it does on a normal day-to-day basis, as in we are going from one action to another and so on in a normal course of day, right? So I see meditation as a very strong antidote to that kind of a behavior. And I mean, just the way I would like to exercise more regularly, I would also like to meditate more regularly, but I don't do either of them. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, true. It's interesting. I think the truths can be reconciled, you know, like what we have as traditional truth as well as our modern day reasoning truth, our concerns about fitness, etc. Just that I think the truth has to emerge still. Okay. I was not much of a believer in rituals or gemstones, etc., for example. Okay. But I think they have their place, definitely. I don't know how or what or where, but they seem to have their place. At least in my personal experience, they seem to do it. So, like, I'm open. I've always prayed to God, but I've not been much of a ritual guy. But I think ritual is there. I don't do ritual too frequently. But when I do, I can see some people who are very sincere at doing it. I mean, and I think that helps. It is... See, when we go fundamentally into a human being, right, at least if you go more into an Indian philosophical sense of what constitutes our drives, our desires, our actions, we talk a lot about even family history, we talk genes is the more biological way of viewing it, but every lineage or kula, as I call it, also is supposed to come with its own history. That's why we also have this concept of a kula devata. Right, in a lot of families, at least in the South, I think there's a lot of concept of kula devatas. I think there is a lot of energy which is there, which has come down from your family. See, for Indian philosophy believes that having a human birth is a great opportunity and you're grateful for it. So there's this whole concept of runa or bonding. I mean, you talk about Rishi runa, the people, Rishis who have given you knowledge. You've got the Deva runa, where the gods who sustain the world, and you got Pitru Runa, your ancestors who have enabled you to be born in this particular family.
Runa, the Rina in Sanskrit, Rin as in dead?
Yeah, dead, right, yeah.
Right.
Rin, yeah. So, there are multiple concepts. I think it's a very organic whole. Yeah, in some sense, I agree, in all of our sessions, we've been very piecemeal about talking about astrology per se. But there are actually a lot of philosophical linkages which talks about I can link this runa rin concept to a lot of astrological charts also. Ritual also talks about a lot of rin. So it's a question of understanding when what force is being played within us mentally, right? Some of it is our own. I mean, what is the self? Okay. We go into more fundamental concepts of what is the self, what is the soul, and stuff like that. So I think we'll stop, but these are some questions which we should keep asking. Every Indian school of philosophy has very different answers on what is the self, what is the soul, what is man's relation with God, what is an ideal for man to God. India has got a plethora of sampradayas or traditions which talk about this. Okay, and definitely for me, Sri Aurobindo is the closest I resonate to. I do have some knowledge of Dvaita by Sri Madhvacharya as well as Advaita by Sri Shankaracharya. So these are the schools which I mainly know about. So in my philosophy journey, these also guide me. Like Ramana, you talked about the insights I could get in my therapy sessions, right? But it was only after the ritual happened or things eased out and I could speak with a lot of people. I told you about other schizophrenia patients and all that, etc., right? Only then I could build my knowledge base and go further deeper. So I'm grateful to all of those experiences and all of those people. So yeah, Raman, that's pretty much what I have for today's episode. So,
Right. Thank you, Anil. Thank you for sharing some of your deeper issues as well and experiences as well. So yeah, let's see what you hold for us in the next episode then. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.